bathtub. I said, Shlomo. And he woke up and he saw what was happening and he went to pull the car out of the swerve. And this is when it gets like so amazing to me. I got a message and it said, he's not going to make it. You are. It was a voice. It wasn't a thought. Mm-hmm. Trumpeted mm-hmm. into my head. And I've been told that it was the Archangel Gabriel. I don't know. But it trumpeted into my head and it said, so why are you coming here? We weren't talking when you died. And the response was, because I thought you were crazy, but you're not. And I'm over here and the only one who can help.
Welcome to Raise Your Vibe and Heal. My guest today is my friend Irene Weinberg. She is the author of the acclaimed book, They Serve Bagels in Heaven, which shares her transformative journey through a profound car accident and its aftermath. Her international award-winning podcast, Grief and Rebirth, Finding the Joy in Life, ranks in the top 2% globally, featuring interviews with grief and trauma specialists, healers, mediums, and inspiring stories of resilience. Her new anthology, Good to the Last Drop, Embracing Your Life's Third Chapter, offers inspiring, uplifting tales of overcoming loss and challenges in later life, advocating for living life's third chapter fully with love, kindness, and purpose. It is my deepest pleasure to welcome Irene with us today. Hello, Irene.
Hello, my dear friend. How are you, Lisa?
Fantastic. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Oh, thank you.
I'm doing great. I'm so happy to be here.
Oh, thank you so much.
Turn around is fair play. You do. And now you get to interview me.
Yes, and we had the opportunity. In fact, I'm going to put this back on the stage here on the screen. We had the opportunity a year ago, it was August of last year, to discuss your book, They Serve Bagels in Heaven, which I thoroughly enjoyed that book. And then your latest book, Good to the Last Drop, which is shown in blue here for those of you that are watching this on YouTube. And also, it's so cool, Irene, because you won... in two categories, first place in inspiration and motivation and spirituality in the Speak Up Talk Radio 2024 International Positive Change Podcast Award. So congratulations on that. Isn't there another award that you can still vote
for? A People's Choice Award, yes.
Oh, fantastic. We will put a link, and that's through, does that end in October then? Or
you have to vote by the end of September.
End of September. Okay, well, this is going to be... Okay, we'll have this out in September so people will have an opportunity to go and vote, and I'll make sure I'll get that link. Yes, I'll get that link into the show notes of the podcast, and also all the links on how to reach you, your social media, that, and your biography. We'll make sure to have that in the show notes as well. So Irene, let's talk about your journey here a little bit. So I know that when we talked last and we were talking about your first book, you were sharing, and I believe it is in your book, that you, earlier in your life, you had gone through a divorce and you and your young son made a big move and you went through this journey, which I will let you share, and up to this point where you are now in this very inspirational, very helpful and healing podcast, which again, I also had the opportunity to be on. So thank you for that. Could you just walk us through a little bit of your journey for the listeners who haven't had an opportunity to read your books or hear your podcast, please?
First of all, I have to tell you, Lisa, that I am the most surprised of anyone that this has happened to me, because I grew up with a very traditional background. I had a really tough childhood. I was brought up traditionally Jewish. And a lot of problems in my childhood. Married my first husband, who was really a way for me to escape from my childhood home, because I was so naive and I just wanted anything, get me out of here. And I had 10 really tough years. I always said I went from the fire of my childhood into the frying pan. And but he did me a tremendous favor, my ex-husband, because it goes to show you that nothing is by accident, because one of the things he did was he introduced me to my second husband, Saul. They were in a business deal together, and they're, you know, there's a way that all evolved. And this, and he also, our marriage was so troubled that it got me, one way or the other, I was led into counseling, into healing, into therapy. because my marriage was so lousy. And then she said, well, let's talk about your childhoods. All of a sudden, I started realizing, oh, my goodness. And, you know, because, you know, you learn relationships and all through what you experience as a kid. And all of a sudden, the lights were going off. Oh, my, this is has something to do with my life and all that. So it started my healing journey, which I've been doing most of my life because there was so much to heal. But it started that. And when Saul and I got together, my son was 3 years old when we married. We were both in therapy. He had a very troubled marriage also. And he had divorced his wife and he was going through a lot of stuff with a mentally ill or person with, let's say, mental challenges. Yes. Mine had mental challenges. Mm-hmm. And the two of us kind of found each other. And because we had been in so much therapy, each of us, we embarked on a very healthy relationship where people were always admiring us and the way we were together because we had both learned through healing how to change and transition to a healthier way of being.
That's a very important key. I can relate to this. I've been separated 2 years ago and I am recently divorced as well. And I've been on a very, healing journey myself as far as after that, and realizing some of the patterns and behaviors that I grew up with that I thought were normal that transferred into the marriage. And I bet you would agree, Irene, that, and I believe I'm sure you say it in your book, that these relationships, for example, the marriage, that can be some of our greatest teaching moments because it shows us, reflects back to us what it is that we have to learn and how we can grow. So you make a very good point that before you got together with Saul, both of you were actively working on yourselves so that you can come yes. together in a healthy partnership where both people want to work together. So you're working on yourselves, but then you're moving in this direction. I just wanted to point that out because I think that's a very healthy way to approach another relationship, especially after a long-term marriage. So.
And I want to make another point about that, Lisa, because we ended up, which tells you volumes, we ended up with custody of Saul's two teenage children, which I always say, if that didn't kill me, nothing will. I mean, that was
blended family.
It was very challenging, to say the least. Teenagers, oh my God, awarded custody from the mother and the whole thing.
Wow.
And we also had custody of my son. So now we were thrust into this blended family with all kinds of issues. And the fact that we were both in therapy helped us so much because one of the things my stepdaughter said to me when she got married 13 years after our marriage was, you know, I've been trying to break you and my father up since the day I came to live with you. And I'm so glad I didn't succeed because I would have never known what a healthy marriage looks like if I hadn't lived with you and Dad. So that is why I'm so passionate about encouraging people to get into healing. Because it literally changed my life and it changed the lives of my kids, of our kids, because they were able to grow up in a healthier way without each of our baggage.
Well, you're a natural because as we get into your journey here, your spiritual journey to up to what you're doing present day, all this work that you started that was a part of you and you started on this journey, you had these experiences and you worked on yourself and you learned and you grew and now you can be an example for her. So I love that.
Yeah, I mean, it was like, I thought to myself when she said it to me, oh my God, I heard this before I died. This is like, I will never forget this. Like, oh my God.
That's a gift.
It was a tremendous gift. And actually, everyone is our teacher.
Yes.
And I count my stepdaughter with what I went through with her as she's one of the greatest teachers I ever had. Because I had... after my husband died, and we'll get into that story, mm-hmm. I went through a period where she kind of went back to some of her formal hurtful behaviors. I went right back into counseling. I learned how to empower myself. I learned I had to get help because now her father was no longer in the mix. How was I going to restructure my relationship with her? And again, I went to healing And it, when I finally started to work with her, I said to her, I love you, but I hate our relationship, and it has to change now that Dad's gone. What do we want, and what is that going to look like? I could never have done that without help with healing and all of that kind of thing.
Well, and that's what I love about your podcast, Irene, is that you have so many different people with different modalities, different experiences, those who have transcended grief. They're still processing grief, but they're sharing their experiences. And that's what I love about your podcast and your books, is that you're sharing, even in this latest book that we'll be getting to shortly, it's like, even though I don't have somebody on the other side that I'm especially close to where I've gone through that grief process, I can certainly relate from different grief experiences that I've had, such as going through a divorce or changes in relationships. I was able to get something from both of your books. It really, you can relate to that, because grief is grief and growth is growth, and how we choose to look at it is so important. So, okay, so you got this beautiful gift from your stepdaughter, which is wonderful.
but you know, go backwards when, you know, yes, I got this beautiful gift, but let's, you want to talk about what happened to me, which knocked my socks off. Saul and I are married about going on 18 years. So
right.
What happened? And we used to laugh because I had a sister-in-law, Saul's brother's wife, who was very spiritual. And we appropriately thought her cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. And now I am cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
Now
so
you're cuckoo for, yes.
But, you know.
You know, that brings up a really interesting point, Irene, that I'm just going to share here. Kind of this topic of karma. Now, when I look at karma, I like the definition of, it's not like an eye for an eye or, you know, all that kind of stuff. It's really about the balance of the energy, right? So for example, I'll use a personal example that I did here, a few years ago. So back, I would say 15 years ago, 14 years ago, back before I had my big spiritual awakening and that, I found out that someone close to me my sister had, who I'm not close to, had gone through a divorce. And I remember thinking, and I remember smugly saying to my husband at the time, you know, ha ha ha, our marriage is so great. Ha ha ha. And I never went out and broadcast this. It was just a conversation I had with him. It was a thought I had. Well, when I went through, after I got separated and moved out, I felt when I would share with people that I was separated and going through a divorce, all of a sudden I felt that judgment energy coming at me. And I'm like, ooh. So to me, that was karma going, we have to balance this out. Now you get to experience. And that's why our thoughts are so important. How what we speak is so important. Absolutely. Our energy is so important. So I think that's funny that you got to experience the cuckoo sister-in-law, right? Was your sister-in-law. And now here you are writing these books about you had an experience with Saul and you're having these. I mean, that isn't that just interesting how life will.
How is, and I have more that my story involves her because it was so funny. So we used to laugh about her, and we really weren't talking to her when this thing happened to me. So what happened is one day I'm sitting at my kitchen sink and I'm washing dishes. And I guess you'd think that was very meditative. I mean, you know, I was just doing my thing. And all of a sudden, a thought came into my mind that was not my thought. And it said to me, Saul has to go. Many lessons will be learned from his death. And I looked around in my kitchen. I thought, what the heck am I thinking? And I filled a glass of water and I went. He was watching a Jets. You can tell I'm from New Jersey land, New Jersey. So he was watching a Jets game on TV. I kissed the top of his head. I gave him a glass of water. And I thought, that was nuts. And I proceeded to try to put it out of my head. But you don't forget something like that.
No, you
and
don't.
2 months later, we were on the New York State Thruway. We had a ski house in the Catskills, and we were going to our ski house. And Saul had a very tough week at work. And I said to him, honey, you want me to drive? And I drove up to the ski house. And something told me to make it the best weekend. Even if he wanted to eat with people, I wasn't particularly crazy about, give him whatever he wanted that weekend. And when two things I want to say. The night before this thing happened to me, he said to me, I'm so lucky and thankful to have you in my life. I mean, there's no accidents. Like, well, he said that, and the next day, we had a wonderful day. My stepdaughter had a little cottage, a ski cottage or whatever. We went to visit her. We got in the car, and I said to him, Sully, you want me to drive again? He said, no, I'm going to listen to the Jets game on TV, on the radio, rather, and we'll be fine. An hour and a half after we were on the thruway, we were going 72 miles an hour. We were in the left lane. All of a sudden, I felt the car go into a huge swerve. And I looked over and saw was sound asleep at the wheel. I mean, like this. And I called out to him. I said, Saul. And he woke up and he saw what was happening. And he went to pull the car out of the swerve. And this is when it gets like so amazing to me. To this day, I'm still like, wow. As we rose up in the air, I got a message and it said, he's not going to make it. You are. A thought, a really strong thought came into my head as I'm flipping. One of four times I had four major surgeries from the accident, but I was conscious through everything. And we flip up in the air. We land really hard on the right side, Lisa. And as we took off again, I literally left my body. Like if you were looking at a clock, like thinking about the cars revolving, it was like I was in a gigantic roller coaster. And we, when we got to like the 10 of in the turn to the 10 after, I was suddenly surrounded by black. I didn't know what that was about, but I was sort of like hanging out. And then what I've been told is that I accompanied him to the portal and I was given this divine assignment because when I came back into my body and the car landed hard again, and then it flipped a third time, and then a fourth time, and we landed upside down in a ravine, held up traffic on the thruway for 2.5 hours. There were still pieces of my car on the road 6 months later, Lisa. I see, I look over at Saul and I go, Sully, are you okay? And I see that what I got was correct. His entire gorgeous, wonderful persona was gone. And I got in the moment, oh my gosh, we go on. There's something going on here. I got these messages. Now I see an EMT helicopter land and these three guys jump out of the helicopter and they're rocking my car to get it back right side up on the road. And one of them reaches into the shattered window of my car and undoes my seatbelt, grabs me by the shoulders, and I didn't know that I was bleeding profusely and whatever was going on, and started pulling me through the window of my car. And all of a sudden, an unemotional male voice, I mean, it was a voice, it wasn't a thought, trumpeted into my head. And I've been told that it was the Archangel Gabriel, I don't know, but it trumpeted into my head and it said, be loving and kind to everyone, as they laid me on the side of the road. Now, Lisa, I know about you, but this would tend to change your cells as they're multiplying. You know your husband's dead next to you. You know he's gone. You got the feeling all of a sudden that he's with you, and you've just been told to be loving and kind. You've gotten a heavenly directive. And I want to say one more thing to those listening to us, because that was all the heavenly stuff going on. But because of my background in healing, so everything leads to, you don't know what steps in your life and things that are going on that are meant to be, that lead you from one step to the other. So all of the healing that I had done, the thing that I said to myself as I got the be loving and kind to everyone, I said to myself, I will get through this somehow because I have to teach my son that you can get hit by a grenade in life and still keep going, which means that I scripted myself immediately that I was going to do whatever healing I had to do. I wasn't even in touch yet with the tremendous amount of grief that I was going to go through and all that. But I immediately, and Saul was buried on my son's 21st birthday, and I had already scripted myself. And 4 years after the accident, and I'm going to tell you more about what happened, but 4 years after the accident, my son said, Mom, there's been nothing worse than seeing you in total despair and nothing better than seeing you be able to have joy again, which came from all the healing that I did and give myself permission to not only grieve, but to allow the rest of my life to continue and bring me joy in my life.
That is so profound, and that is so important. You know, I just got guided to share on social media here the other day. It was just like that in a world of instant gratification, healing can feel like failure. It's not, it's a journey. And when we have the courage to go through the healing process, when we have the courage to go through the layers of the onion and really start to get in touch with those feelings, it's amazing what can rise out of the ashes like the phoenix. And so I love that you shared that. I love that your son got to experience that and witness that, because that is such a, that's such a beautiful gift too.
And you know what? He's had problems in his life, different, because we all do.
Sure.
And he goes to therapy. He's not, and what I told him was, Matt, the courageous people go to therapy, because it's very hard to face your own stuff. Mm-hmm. But if you really have the courage to face it, what happens is you're carrying a backpack, an emotional backpack filled with all your issues, all your pain, all your trauma. And as you heal, you can drop it. And all of a sudden, and I know you're experiencing it now, you become more and more free.
Yes.
To be who you are, that you really never were that in touch with before. All of a sudden, these things start to happen.
Well, and the interesting thing too, Irene, is that what I'm just getting right now too is just a reminder that some of these experiences we have are catalysts for helping to heal generational trauma. So absolutely. Sometimes we go through these things and it helps trigger something. So again, we can help heal the ancestors from before and the ancestors moving forward. Of course, it's all happening at the same time. But that we can literally change and transform other lifelines, other lifetimes for those in our ancestors. So sometimes it may be difficult to go, why am I going through this? What is the purpose? But there's so many layers that we just don't even realize.
Mm-hmm. In my situation, I have a brother who I had no relationship with, and because of all the healing that I've done, I'm now becoming, at this time in my life, very close to my brother. And we have restructured an entire wonderful relationship, healthier. So this is what happens when you drop your backpack, you know, and all that.
Oh,
I also want to go back to when the accident happened, though. So I think about this and I do this, but meanwhile, the guys are flipping me over and pulling me out of the car. I get the message. And now, instead, Lisa, of screaming for myself because I've received a heavenly directive, instead of carrying on, I start saying to people, you know what? Thank you for coming out. It's the weekend before Christmas. What's your name? I am so grateful to you. They're loading me in the helicopter. And it wasn't an act. I mean, I had been given this message. I appreciate it. And they take me in the helicopter to this emergency trauma center. And as the doctor looks me over, he says, you know, we have quite a big patchwork quilt to fix. I had a torn artery in the bottom of a foot, and I had three other big injuries. And he said to me, and he came over to me, and he said, I need to tell you your husband's gone. And I had this be loving and kind. I had the sense the soul was with me. And I said, you know, doc, I know, and I'm the luckiest woman in the world that I had this man in my life. For the time that I did, I immediately went, because of the message and how it kind of grounded me, I immediately went into gratitude. And everything, the nurses, they would help me, I'd say, thank you so much, I'm so grateful. And then I even had the experience of when my stepdaughter came to the hospital and she fainted. And when they picked her up, I was so conscious. I said, I just want you to know I love you. She said, I know. I mean, it was amazing. I got a call from the assistant to the doctor who operated on me 3 months later. And she said, Irene, I just had to tell you, you changed lives in the emergency room. We have seen everything on that throughway. We had never seen anyone react the way you did with such love and kindness to everyone. You weren't screaming for yourself. You weren't carrying on. I said, Trish, I had a spiritual awakening. I mean, it changed my life. So now what happens? So I'm in the hospital.
Want to interject there. So the message that you received from, we'll say Archangel, was it Gabriel?
Gabriel. Mm-hmm.
Gabriel. The message that you received, well, let's look at that. That, what did it do? It raised the vibrational frequency. And so you brought that energy. Even, that is such a beautiful example how even when we are going through the toughest things, physically, emotionally, you just lost the love of your life, You didn't lose him, but you know, it's different. It's different.
Absolutely.
And but yet you are choosing, I'm getting chills on this one. You are choosing to raise your vibrational frequency. You're choosing to have a different perspective. You're got a lot of healing you'll have to go through, but because you're choosing this attitude and this beauty and grace and love, you are affecting, just like you said, everybody that you are coming into contact with. So it is no surprise to me that your podcast is award-winning. It is no surprise to me that your books touch so many people's lives. That is such a gift. So, okay. So now you've...
Yeah, and it makes you, made me conscious.
Yes.
I suddenly flipped into... There's a reason for being. There's a consciousness. Oh my God, there's more to this life. I suddenly flipped into that. And now what happens to me is
it's a responsibility when you think about it. It's a big responsibility. You've got you mentioned earlier, you're an example for your son. You're an example for, but not only that, an example for yourself, a way that you can live your life and how you can take this experience and change and go in a whole new direction. So
I like to tell people, Lisa, sorry to interrupt. I like to tell people that I took from that, be loving and kind to everyone, that meant me too.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
I suddenly got that one of the things I needed to do was to stop judging myself and to embrace myself, and that there was more, and I had to be very, and even though I was grieving and everything, no punishing of myself or anything, I took be loving and kind to myself also. So all of this is going on, and now I open up to the spiritual world. I can't tell anyone in my world because they will say I'm cuckoo.
Do 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 do. Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
Here comes that. I can't tell anyone.
Here comes that. Here comes that lovely friend karma. It's balancing.
So now I start reaching out.
Well, that's a judgment that you had for yourself, though, right? Because today you'd be like, well, you have a totally different perspective on it. Yeah. but when we're new to this, depending on how our spiritual awakening happens, it's not, you know, it's not always going to be the easiest thing for us to do. It's like, It's kind of like when I started channeling the ancients 8 years ago. It's like, I didn't just go out there and start telling people about it. It took a little bit. I had to do some healing. So I totally get that. So, all right. Yeah. So now you have this experience. Now what do you do?
Now what do I do? So now I start opening up and to the spiritual world. But what happened to me, to show you how one thing leads to another, you don't have to know me for 3 minutes to know that I talk to everybody and I'm very friendly. I mean, I am the quintessential extrovert over here. So I would go to bring the dry cleaning for my husband and all, and I would always talk to my dry cleaner. Hi, how you doing? What's going on? Blah, blah, blah. I get a call from my dry cleaner and he says to me, you know, Irene, I wouldn't tell most people this story, but you seem very open-minded to me, and I feel like I need to tell you the story. I am sure he was getting messages to tell me. And he said, 8 years ago, my son died of a drug overdose, and my wife and I were inconsolable. And we went to all these counselors and all. And then we found out that there are people who can communicate with the other side. They're called mediums. And we're going to be seeing one in 2 weeks. Who was going to be very famous one day. And Lisa, I had no idea what he was talking about, but I knew something was up. So
yes.
2 weeks later, I get into Saul's car. I drive to a town about 5 towns away to my dry cleaner's home. I get into his car and he drives me another 5 towns away to this event with the to be famous medium, John Edwards.
Oh.
Who greets me and says, I don't even want to know your name. And to show you how it was just starting out, there were only like 35 people in the room. I mean, today his events have 500 people. There were And all of a sudden, John Edwards says, I'm getting a message about Dr. Pepper. Does anyone relate to Dr. Pepper? And I elbow my dry cleaner and said, oh my God, start writing. And 15 years before he met me, Saul's brother, who was a big advertising executive on Madison Avenue, put Saul's name in a Dr. Pepper commercial. Dr. Pepper is coming east. Let's talk to the man of the street, Saul Weinberg, about Dr. Not John Doe, Joe Smith, So Saul used to laugh about that. How could God know that?
Couldn't. And that's how you can tell who the good mediums are, when they bring forward evidence that you can't Google, evidence that only you would know and you knew right away, so that you can receive the messages once the evidence comes through.
Absolutely. And he's telling for 40 minutes.
So wait, this was 6 weeks after the accident?
Eight weeks after the accident, we had the actual session. And John Edwards said to me, Saul was so yakety-yakety. He's telling me he's still wearing his gear charm under your blouse. He's telling me, the messages were amazing. And the one that blew me the way most is he's telling me you're driving his favorite car with Saul V on the license plate.
Oh, look at that.
Now, how does John know that when that car was
away? Oh, look at that. If you are listening to this on podcast software, Irene just showed the license plate that says Saul Z.
Because Saul Z. He sold condos too. He was a real estate developer. They used to call him Uncle Saul Z. And I'm getting all these messages from now. Who do I call? My sister-in-law, the one who I thought was bonkers. And she goes, you know what? When I came to visit you in the hospital, I saw that your entire aura had changed. She said, I knew. And she said, 2 weeks after the accident, I got a big message from Saul, and I didn't know how to tell you. And the message, and she said to him, he came to me, and I said, Saul, why are you coming here? We weren't talking when you died. And the response was, because I thought you were crazy, but you're not. And I'm over here, and the only one who can help me.
Now I need you.
For Irene.
Well, you know, your experience, and it's why you're talking about this. A lot of times there's some big, major life event that happens. It can be an accident. I know that was happened with Sherry Gallant too. She, a very well-known medium up in Canada. She had been in a car accident. And it's like these big wake up moments where all of a sudden it's almost like you're getting bonked over, like spirits bonking over the head.
Now I'm opening up to all these people.
Wake up.
And I'm getting, now I go look at the mediums, and these mediums are saying there's a divine plan that if certain things didn't work out, Saul was going to go first, and then we were going to work from across the veil. And now I'm not looking at this as, I'm saying, oh, really? Because all this has happened to me. And he describes his toes to me through someone. The first meal I ever made for someone. And what he was wearing the night he died through someone. And I mean, if you're deceased husband is telling you all this, and then you get a message you're supposed to write a book. I was like, really? What book? I played the violin growing up. I helped him in his real estate business. I was a buyer for Macy's. But if he's describing his toes to me, and all this, I connect with someone, and I begin asking him questions, and I begin to channel my book called They Serve Bagels in Heaven.
There it is. Bagels in Heaven. Not only do you have one, but you have two books and this award-winning podcast.
So this is all starting, and I'm like, okay, I'm supposed to write a book. And I think, okay, this is it. So I channel the book. I write it. I'm starting to get 5-star reviews. I'm out there. And I asked him questions like, what was it like for you to cross over? What's the deal with soulmates? What do they do about people who are evil? And he starts answering me what his life review was like and all of that. Now I'm doing this. And then one day, and I think I'm done. Okay, I did my job. And then one day I'm sitting just here where everybody sees me, and I get the word podcast comes into my head. And I said to someone, what's a podcast? I mean, I'm a baby boomer. How do I know what a podcast is, right? So,
are you psychic, Irene? I mean, I don't know.
I guess. I never
you're
thought
getting,
of it that
you're
way.
You're getting messages.
Can I just ask you a quick question?
I want to ask you a quick question before you go down, before we talk about this. Why you think Saul was able to communicate with you so quickly? And what are your thoughts what are your thoughts on that? You probably have heard that before where they say, oh, it's just too soon. Or do you have any thoughts around that?
I don't think they're right about that. Or maybe the only caveat I could say is maybe the person crosses over to the other side and they have a ton of healing to do, and they're not really ready. They haven't really processed their life review, and they're not ready. I know that when John Edward was channeling Saul, he said, how long is this guy on the other side? And I said, 2 months. He said, this is an old soul. This guy is so articulate. He's been around the block a lot. And So maybe that, but another thing that happened to me that I really want to share with everyone, which is amazing, is my mother passed about 3 years ago. And I had no idea when she was in assisted living. And I, just for a lark, sometimes I need a lift. I'm talking to so many mediums. I was in the mood about 3 months before my mother passed, which I didn't know when that was going to be. The day of our appointment, she said to me, you know what, for some reason, something happened. I can't keep our appointment, but instead of speaking in the morning, can we talk your time, 5:30 message? I said, okay. My mother passed at 3:57 that day. At 5:30, I had an appointment with a medium.
Whoa. To tell you,
and my mother was literally gone an hour and a half. And the message was, Irene, I'm getting a female figure here. She's saying, yay, I made it. She said, she's saying she went over a bridge. And she says, I'm getting an image of someone who took her over. She perfectly described my mother's father. She was talking about a strand of pearls she gave me. All this information. So now, an hour and a half after my mother passed, I immediately had this amazing transmission. The woman had no idea that my mother had passed, and everyone is crying when they're lowering my mother into the ground, and I'm ecstatic because I know my mother's fine, and she's telling me, oh, they're giving me a big party over here. A friend of mine who I didn't know since kindergarten, she came to greet me. And this was all part of this transmission.
Oh, I love
that. Your question about how soon after they pass.
Just depends, right?
I think it's an individual thing for the soul.
And for those who do have loved ones on the other side that are not coming through right away in a mediumship, please just trust the process of whoever's supposed to come forward. We as humans might want to put a box around something. Then we're limiting... we're limiting the flow of the energy, and we're limiting the flow of spirit. So thank you for answering that question.
Oh, you're
okay.
So welcome.
Yes.
When I tell you this accident blew me out of my box. What's happened to me because of this is when I get a message, I listen and I go with it. I don't do the, as they say, 3D vibrational thing which most people go, I can't do this. I don't believe in it. What if it's not true? I just go, okay, it's my next thing. And the thing is that I go for it, and all of a sudden it's like on wings of angels. So I know, and it's working out. So it validates that it's meant to be. So I get the message about the podcast, and I think, okay. And I'm scared. By the way, I have to tell everyone, I'm always scared. And because I have faith, I'm scared, but I walk through and I do it anyway. I had said when they pulled me out of the car, and I said, I'll get through this somehow. I immediately started working with a transitional life coach. And now I have the spiritual experience. So I'm starting to work with some spiritual energy healers. And of course, mediums are saving my life because Saul's coming through like gangbusters with all these messages. So as things have appeared to me, like podcast, I go, well, I can start the process. If it doesn't feel right, I can stop it. I'll see what happens. I seem to be getting a message, right? So I'm thinking, all right, they're telling me to interview people. Who am I going to interview? So I thought, I could not have gotten through this grief or start through this process without this life transition coach, without the energy healers, without the mediums. And holy moly, does it take grit to get through this stuff and get to the other side. So I said, I'm going to interview grief and trauma specialists, healers. That's why I interviewed you. Mediums.
Thank you.
Oh, you're my pleasure. Are you kidding? It was such a blessing. And people who have been through all these transitions and challenges and everything and healed and come through to the other side of it for the better. And I started working, and oh my goodness, people were like, I need this. I was starting to hear from therapists who said, I've been a therapist for 30 years, and every time I listen to your podcast, I'm learning something new. And I think my job is over because I've got the podcast and it's doing really well. And then I have a session with a medium one day, and she said, I'm getting a message for you. Oh, really? What now? Right. They want you to write a book. And because it appears that many people were saying, I'm at well into my 70s, I will tell people honestly. And
beautiful. You are beautiful. You look,
thank you.
You are a prime example of how you are living in such a high vibrational state that it just reflects on not only your spirit inside, but it's also showing on you physically. I mean, you're beautiful.
Or as I like to say to people, I'm an image of high maintenance. Because as I get older,
yes, ma'am.
As I get older, yeah, there's more, you take care. But again, it's be loving and kind to me too. So
yes.
I'm taking care of myself, the way I work out, the way I do, mm-hmm. the way I'm taking care of myself, because I have so much to live for now. The words that's coming to me is, I cherish everyone in my life, but I cherish me too.
That's
I have to take really good care of myself too. And I realize, just as an aside, three of the people in my life who this is benefiting are my three grandsons, because they have a grandmother who can get down on the ground with them and play with them and talk with them and relate to them. I've got things that go on, but I attend to them. I lovingly take care of myself. I do what I need to do to heal it or whatever.
The quote that one of the quotes I love is from your latest book. Someone said that retirement is not about stopping. It's about shifting gears so you keep moving forward. I can certainly not only live with that, I'm embracing it. So we are shifting gears here to talk about this book. How is it that you're able to live this kind of a life? And how did you, yes, good last drop. I'm going to add that back there. So if you're watching on my YouTube, there's the latest book, Good to the Last Drop in Blue. It's available on Amazon, along with her beautiful book, They Serve Bagels in Heaven. And we'll put links in the show notes to those.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Heaven sent, because I'm having the session and the medium says to me, they want you to write a book because you're a role model for people getting older,
yes.
and they want you to write a book about people's stories about the third chapter of life. I live in a mid-rise building, and mm-hmm. I see a lot of people who their attitude seems to be, it's time, I'm old now, I'm retiring, it's time to get sick and be depressed and die. I mean, I see it in their body language. I see it in, you know, what they do and all. And usually it's a choice. And what happened to me, because be loving and kind to everyone, including me, and all these things that happened, I'm going to embrace life. And I thought to myself, I'm going to call it good to the last drop, because that's what I hope to be, is good to the last drop. And I'm not afraid of dying, because I now know I'm going to cross over, go to the other side. So what is my legacy? What am I leaving good to the last drop to the people before I take off?
I wrote down a couple of quotes and that I loved. I've read this book from front to back, and I think it was like in a day and a half. It was just wonderful. And again, anybody can get anything from this. And there was one quote that I saw from, and I wish we could talk about everybody, but Angela Clement quote said, if we look at grief as a helpful friend for healing rather than something to be avoided, it will show us the way back to joy and happiness. There was another one that I really liked. Yvonne Heath wrote, plan your life, plan your death, then just love your life to death and always bring your own tambourine to the party.
And thank you for what you're saying, because everyone I talk to seems to relate to this chapter really touched me, or this chapter really fascinated me, or this chapter, it was an answer I was looking for. Put all these amazing stories, and every single person has had tremendous tragedy happen in their life. Yet the book is uplifting, because some of them lost a child, some of them went through divorce, they lost spouses, they had diseases, they had sicknesses, but what they have each done to turn their lives around and to help others. There's one man, I will say, I mean, so many wonderful stories, but one guy, he's in a wheelchair in assisted living in Canada. He was a forest ranger. And what he is doing is he's passionate about climate change, and he meets with his assisted living group, and they do things to help with climate change and teach other people. So instead of being in assisted living and saying, when's my next meal? This man has turned everything that's happened into his life into something positive till the last drop, that he's decided his passion is preserving our planet. Another guy I'm thinking about, he lost his son who was killed in a car accident, the love of his life. He adored his son, talented, brilliant kid. He now in his retirement conducts grief support groups for men. men who are grieving. I mean, every single one. Yes.
And men is kind of an underrepresented area because of, I think, from society and expectations. Oh, I remember that story. I love that.
Right?
Yes.
So every single story is meant. Why I included them. My prayer is that people read this and they go, oh my goodness, I can make more of my last years too. I don't have to give it up. What do I want to do? And it also makes you conscious through your last chapter. What are you leaving besides good dinners or wherever you're going to eat? And God bless you, do that. But what else are you leaving behind? You know, what is your legacy? And yes, I have. And when I wrote about the book was, I thought about it. And one of my friends, you're going to really laugh at this, Lisa. One of my friends said to me, you know, Irene, I know when that time comes, they're going to have, you know, your son will have the traditional memorial service and Jewish stuff. But I got stories about you. Oh, my God. I would love to tell good people about the real Irene.
The real Irene.
All the flowery. Nice things are going to say, and the religious things are going to say, Irene, I know some, you know, I want to share that. So I said to my son, you know, Matt, what if I love to plan parties. What if I plan a celebration of my life when I'm gone? Because I know that Saul actually channeled through John Edward that a partner and friend of his wasn't at his funeral, which was true. So I said, I know I'll be around. I want to enjoy my party too. And so dad will be there and grandma will be there. So I started to create a celebration of my life after I pass, after all the formalities and the things are gone. I said, have a blast, have it in my place. I told him what to serve. I told him I have a guest list.
Yes,
I said,
you do.
Most of my friends are younger than I am, so hopefully they'll still be around. I told him I want champagne. I told him I want balloons. I told him I want bags created that say with love from Irene. And I said, after you've taken whatever it is that you want, I want you to open up my drawers and everything to whoever comes to the party. Let them take pieces of Irene, whatever it is, and whatever is left over. One of the things that happened to me was before Saul died, we were at a craft show and it said, how do you know that you have been a battered woman? And I read the 13 ways that you know, and my mother filled 11 of them. And I ended up working on the hotline, training and working on the hotline of a battered women's service, which helped me even more in my healing journey to put the pieces together about what had happened during my childhood. So I decided that whatever is left over goes to the battered women's service to help women who have struggled with domestic abuse and all of that kind of thing. This place, this hotline I was working for, had transitional housing for these women and all this kind of thing. So this is what I've decided to do. But I also want to make sure that it's a celebration of my life. And then when some of my friends started finding out about it, one said, oh, I got things to say about you. I want to do too. And then someone else said, oh, I'm going to fly in. I got things to say. So now I know that, and am I going to be sensitive about whatever they ever have to say? I'm on the other side of back with Saul. I'm going to have just as good a time as listening to it. And so I want my hope. Yes, I know that people in my life will be very sad when I'm not physically here. But my hope is that I'm going to leave so much richness and grace behind me and fun that is more my legacy than the tears and sadness that it
I
will
love
mean
that.
Something. And, you know, just enjoy it. And so that's part of what I talked about in my chapter. If we look at spiritually that this is school with the lessons that we have to learn, and then we kind of graduate. I look at this as a graduation party. Hey, everyone, have a good time. It's my graduation party.
I love that. I just wanted to point out two more quotes that I had from your newest book. And again, I encourage everybody to go onto Amazon. I'll put the links in the description field. What I love about this book, Irene, is that how inspirational it is. And there was one, there's one in particular that I wrote down. It was the author on this one was Alan Stein, and he had multiple cancers, health scares, journey.
By the way, that's my brother.
Oh my gosh. Well, and then, you know, divorce, and then in his third chapter of life, he's happy and living in a state of gratitude and purpose and starting new companies. And I thought, okay, if this gentleman can go through all of that and a divorce, I can go through a divorce and also restart my life and, you know, create my healing work and my business. And also these chapters, just like your friend Roz Weinberger wrote, I love this one, those who stop learning start to rot. And I see people in their, heck, even in their 40s and their 50s and their 30s talking about, oh, I'm old. I'm so old. I'm like, exactly. Are you kidding me? And then hearing your story about listening to Archangel Gabrielle talking about being kind, being loving. How important that is. We are here to be in a life of service. And if we're feeling sorry for ourselves, what kind of vibe is that? That's not a high vibe. We're here to spread the light. We're here to spread the joy. We're here to help raise, just like your beautiful work is doing with your podcast and your books. Thank you. We are here to help raise the vibrational frequency for the one, the all, the connectedness, which is what my team always likes to say. Irene, are there any last thoughts you want to share with our audience before we wrap up this beautiful podcast? We could talk for a whole other hour about this.
I want to tell everyone one other thing. When you cross over and you get your life review, I have learned they couldn't give a hoot about how much money you made. They don't care about that at all. What your life review is, you live how you affected people in your life. You live how you made other people feel, and they don't judge you on the other side. It's like you came here to learn lessons, and it's sort of like, okay, here's your life review. Did you learn and did you accomplish what you came here to do?
Yes.
So I tell everyone that I have learned that I'm not perfect. I get mad. I get upset. You should have seen me the other day when my computer broke down. Believe me, I get upset and all that too. So, but I try to be very conscious about how I handle things and how I treat people, because you know what? I'm gonna live that movie again. I'm gonna see that movie. I'm gonna leave one other thought, Lisa, for everyone. I was for a while I was working with a medium, and we were I was like her business manager. And one day we walked into a hotel for a small gallery in Vermont. We did not know a single person there. And as we walked in, there was a young woman crying hysterically in the very first row. She was maybe in her early 20s. And the medium walked right over to her. And she said, I see a father figure behind you. And he's saying that the night before he unexpectedly died, the two of you had a horrible fight. And you called each other terrible names. Mm-hmm. And he wants you to know how sorry he is. And he didn't mean any of it. Think about it. He's on the other side. He's communicating this message. He didn't mean any of it, and he loves you. This girl was so healed and so relieved. The difference between this young woman when we walked in and when she walked out with the lightness of being. But the other thing is, it follows you to the other side. This guy got this whole picture in his life review. And he had the opportunity to come through and make amends through this medium to his daughter.
That's so huge.
Right? So it's so important for people to understand that it's really, I mean, we need to survive in this lifetime. Mm-hmm. We need to make money and all of that. But it's really about the quality of our relationships and about love and about kindness how we treat each other.
It sounds so simple, but it's so powerful. It is love and kindness and gentleness and being of service to one another. Irene, that is absolutely beautiful. So we can find you on social media and the name.
You can find me there.
Your website is, you want to share people with your website is?
It's Irene Weinberg, WEINBERG.com. And you can find out all about me, and I'm on YouTube, and you name it. Wherever you get your podcasts, I'm on YouTube. The books are on Amazon. You can also get them through my website. And you can also find Lisa's interview there, because I have, you know, on my website are the different episodes, my interviews, and we had a wonderful interview, Lisa.
Yes, that was, I just, such a blessing the way that all came about. So much gratitude, so much love and appreciation, Irene. This has just been so much, such a joy listening and sharing and just feeling the beauty that you are, and how you are still being of service, and you're not rotting. You are still providing value, and you will till you take your last
and
breath.
It lights me up and it lifts me up, and I'm
obviously, you look 20 years younger than what you say. I want, that's wonderful. I love that. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us today. You can watch this on YouTube, and you can also listen to this anywhere you listen to your favorite podcast, including Apple Podcast and Spotify. Thank you so much, Irene, for joining us today. And I will be putting everything into the show notes. Please vote for Irene. This will be posted in September, so you'll have a chance to vote for her podcast. Definitely check out her podcast and her beautiful books. And please remember, we are fully supported, we are fully protected, and we are fully loved. Thank you so much. Love and blessings. Bye-bye.